The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I was excited about the story that McDonald's have decided that they are going to be serving pita on their menu with falafel and kebabs, in at least in Israeli restaurants anyway. That was supposed to have started during the course of this week. But I'm honestly not too sure about this, I have to say, because I just can't imagine somebody walking down the street saying, you know, I fancy a pita and falafel right now, and I think I'm going to find a
McDonald's. Yeah, it is so interesting. I guess the target market is somebody who doesn't want a burger but is there for their kids or there for somebody else. And they just want something a bit different. 34519 or 0618951019, which you eat a McDonald's, let's assume the kosher part or not, it depends on what your preference is, whatever. Would you eat a McDonald's falafel? Interesting. Or would you go to McDonald's for a falafel?
The truth of the matter is that some Israelis are quite snobbish about, you know, the hummus and the falafel and the pita that they eat, and they wouldn't dare be seen in an establishment that wasn't up to standard, that didn't serve the best hummus in town, or that didn't serve the best falafel or pita in town. There is a certain standard.
But I think snobbery, it's like that whole coffee thing. There are definitely hummus and tahina snobs. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think why Starbucks never really made it in Israel, because there's a certain, you know, Israeli style of coffee that Starbucks couldn't live up to. It just wasn't working.
Amazing. What is absolutely amazing is this surprise move with Turkish President Erdogan. I don't understand. How is this all coming together?
Very, very strange, in some people's view, a very strange call that took place yesterday when President Erdogan of Turkey called newly installed Israeli President Yitzhak Buzi Herzog. They apparently had a 40-minute call on the phone yesterday, during which time they, first of all, apparently President Erdogan, of course, congratulated President Herzog on his inauguration. And then the two apparently discussed relations between Israel and Turkey. Now, the relations between Israel and Turkey have sort of almost not existed since 2010, when we had that Mavi Marmara incident. And in fact, at the current time, Turkey does not even have an ambassador in Israel. And so it came as a little bit of a surprise to me, and indeed to others as well, that there was this breakout of peace and understanding and friendliness between President Erdogan and President Herzog. I think from the Israeli president's point of view, the call, he had no reason to reject the call. He had no reason to say he didn't want to talk about regional issues with President Erdogan. From the Turkish president's side, a little strange, especially against the backdrop of the meeting that took place over the weekend between Erdogan and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, which took place in Ankara, I believe, in Turkey. And there was an announcement afterwards which quoted President Erdogan saying that Turkey will not remain silent about Israel's actions and about the lack of peace and stability in the region, and that peace and stability will not be possible as long as the Israeli occupation continues. That was over the weekend. Then yesterday, all of a sudden, an outbreak of friendliness in this conversation with President Herzog, during which time apparently Erdogan spoke about the opportunities that exist for cooperation between the two countries, particularly in the fields of energy and tourism and technology, and stressing the importance of bilateral trade between the two countries. The Turkish side of the announcement that covered this call also spoke about the fact that Turkey calls upon Israel to resolve the Palestinian conflict, and that Turkey would like to contribute, and this resolution of this issue would contribute towards an improvement in Israeli-Turkish relations. And in fact, the Prime Minister, the announcement from President Herzog's office was a very, very similar one. So it seems to have been coordinated. And there was even a reference to the possibility that Turkey may decide to finally appoint a new ambassador to Israel. So all very, very odd. I think, you know, the truth of the situation lies probably in the relationship between Turkey and the United States, which ironically seems to be worse under the Biden administration than it was under the Trump administration. And I think that the Turkish president is feeling a little alienated from the U.S. administration right now. And I just wonder whether he thinks that he might find a little opening in the Biden administration's heart if he somehow manages to heal the rift with Israel. It might be a way towards the White House. It might be one of those stepping stones towards the White House by somehow trying to heal the rift with Israel. The problem, of course, is that Turkey has very much become closer to Iran in recent months and even years, has been very, very supportive of Iran's position, has been very critical of Israel, has been very supportive of Hamas and the terror activities that they've conducted from Gaza. So I think there's still quite a long way to go before we get back to the days pre-2010 when there was a very close bilateral relationship between Israel and Turkey, lots of tourism backwards and forwards and lots of regional cooperation. I think those days are long gone, and I think it'll take a lot of time, energy, effort before we can really return to those days.
Just amazing how these thing, how quick, well, I don't know if it is quick because it is 2010 that all this happened, but when it turns, it just seems to come very, very quickly. Give us a COVID-19 update, because I see reports to say that Israel might be the first country to administer a third jab.
So has become already the first country to administer the third booster vaccination. And this took place yesterday at the Sheba Hospital at Tel HaShomer, just outside of just on the outskirts of Tel Aviv, and they decided at Sheba to give booster vaccinations in their cardiac clinic, in the cardiac ward, for those people who have had heart transplants. So they called in people who have been patients in the heart transplant clinic, and they began to administer them with their third booster vaccination. And it's interesting because a study has been conducted at the Rambam Healthcare Campus, which is based in Haifa in northern Israel, about antibodies and whether indeed they become less over time for various members of the community. And apparently something like 1,500 Rambam employees, as well as some retirees who volunteered to take part in the survey, have undergone serological tests at Rambam over the past 6 months. And apparently at the three-month mark, there was still quite a lot of evidence of antibodies being in existence in most of the people who took part in the study. But it was noticeable that for older members of the study, their antibody levels were slightly lower. And so we're just waiting to see now what they say about the six-month mark and what level of antibodies were evident in the members of that particular group of people who've taken part in the study, to see what level of antibodies were in existence after 6 months. But certainly anecdotally, we've seen a huge uptick in the number of people getting, particularly contracting the Delta variant, who have already been vaccinated. A report of a couple in their mid-80s who died last week, both of whom had been vaccinated. They were treated at the Rambam Hospital. The hospital did say that they suffered from underlying medical conditions. But once again, we're just seeing evidence of people who have been vaccinated who are now contracting the Delta variant. And this comes against the backdrop yesterday where Pfizer and their partner BioNTech SE, they decided to approach the FDA to get approval for a third boost in the United States. And the FDA has come out very, very quickly saying that they have no intention right now of authorizing a booster injection. They don't think that it's necessary, and they are saying that it's not needed right now. However, what we are seeing here in Israel is that a booster is needed. Certainly from an anecdotal point of view, I don't think it's currently supported scientifically yet, but there is certainly quite strong evidence to show that a booster injection is required. First of all, in order to try to vaccinate people against the new emerging variants. And second of all, just to boost the level of antibodies that are in evidence in people's systems, because it seems, at least from what we are seeing on the ground, that the levels of antibodies are reducing, and at the six-month mark, it's certainly becoming questionable as to whether people have enough antibodies in their system to be able to withstand the current variants that we see circulating. So some interesting things, but certainly at the Sheba Hospital, in any event, they haven't waited. They're already moving ahead, and they're vaccinating people who they think might be immunocompromised, who might well need more protection, particularly those people in the heart transplant clinic.
Just explain how this works. If Pfizer is, or the FDA is saying no.
Right, the FDA is saying no for the US market.
Ah, okay, but of course that's got nothing to do, with Israel. Israel's not bound by the FDA ruling at all.
Right. And indeed, Pfizer have decided to go out and also approach the European health officials to try and get approval in the European regulatory environment for a third dose. Now, it's not approval as such for the medication. It's not like an FDA approval to allow them to sell the medication. This is an approval to put their stamp of approval on the actual third dose, because it's now become accepted that two doses are required in most parts for most of the vaccines that are out there. But there's no official recognition yet of the need for a third booster dose of the vaccine.
Right, I got it. Israel's very first deaf minister of Knesset delivered her maiden speech to the plenum yesterday. What does she address in the speech?
Well, I think this is really exciting that Shirley Pinto, who is Israel's very, very first deaf member of Knesset, was allowed yesterday to deliver her first speech. She delivered it in sign language in the Knesset. She's a member of the Yamina Party, which, of course, is headed up by Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. And she has vowed to stand to represent in the Knesset disabled people in Israel, not only people who are potentially physically disabled, but also people who are suffering from various so-called transparent illnesses, post-trauma, people who suffer from mental illnesses. She has vowed to represent that community in her quest to do good for citizens of Israel. And yesterday she took her first step along that path by delivering the speech to the Knesset. She spoke about her upbringing, about the lack of accessibility, the lack of awareness, some of the barriers that she encountered in society as a result of being deaf. And she was very strongly supported. She received a standing ovation at the end of her speech at the Knesset. Of course, people applauding in sign language to go along with the address that she gave as well. I think it's an exciting moment where, you know, the less fortunate, those people with some disabilities, are also getting the opportunity to represent that community, to stand freely and fairly amongst the elected officials in Israel's government. And I think it's a very exciting moment for all of us.
It is absolutely, absolutely incredible. Anthony Reich, unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. Great to speak to you. And, of course, we will catch you tomorrow morning.